You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
At least for one night, the magic ran out for James Harden. On that unfortunate note, welcome in to another post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Though the Rockets went into Sunday night's game in Orlando having won 13 of 16, two of those three losses had come within the last four games. Now you can add another one to that with the Rockets falling 116-109, a bad loss to the Magic on Sunday evening. That loss drops the Rockets to 24-18 on the year. As previously mentioned, it's their third loss in the last five games. The Magic improved to 19-24. They're still not a playoff team in the Eastern Conference at the moment, but they are pretty lively. Aaron Gordon, Nikola Vucevic each had 22 points. Terrence Ross off the bench had 17. They're a very lively squad. They beat the Celtics on Saturday evening, so back-to-back wins at home over quality opponents. They did go 1-5 on their recent six-game road trip, but they've been a sneaky competitive team, especially at home. So I do want to lead off by giving them some credit. They fought hard, and especially up front, they're the kind of long, athletic team that we've seen give the Rockets some fits all season long. And in this one, it was especially the case with the Rockets sitting Nene on the front end of a back-to-back. They fly home tonight and then play Memphis on Monday. So we'll talk about that more as we move our way through our 3 points recap. We'll also talk about a great game that was somewhat wasted from Austin Rivers, the starting backcourt mate now alongside James Harden. And largely the reason that it was squandered was that James Harden, as mentioned off the top, finally ran out of gas, which to me is the theme. Because as I see it for the Rockets, I know that they've turned the season around after that 11-14 start. And even though they're 24-18 now, and any loss in the ultra-competitive West is very costly, I understand that. But one loss is not going to dramatically change this season. They have stabilized. So I think we're at the point now where we need to turn the page from saying 13 of 17, because clearly, when we go back to the 1-5, the 11-14, all the woes for the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season, those are past them. They have stabilized. They are going to be there. It's just a matter of what seed they are, unless there's some unforeseen injury to James Harden, something just stunning that happens down the road, assuming relative health, they're going to be fine. So I think judging the Rockets by the struggles which we've been doing, if you look at it from a macro perspective, yes, 13 of 17 is still a nice run. The way I look at it, with wins, especially in the past couple of weeks over the likes of the Nuggets, the Warriors, the top two teams in the West, they're going to be there. For them to do this with Chris Paul and Eric Gordon out, it shows you what their upside is. This is a team that even though there are different pieces, the foundation is still there from the squad that won 65 games a year ago, the head coach, the big names. They should be fine. So at this point, I'm not looking at it as a 13 of 17 stretch, even though you could argue that it is, because technically that's true. I'm actually looking at it as a 2 of 5 stretch, meaning they have lost 3 of their past 5 games. Because the comparison now is not relative to the early season Rockets. Of course they're better than that. The comparison is to last year's Rockets and whatever version they need to be to contend this season. And even with the injuries, in a Western Conference that's this competitive, losing 3 times in 5 games, first in Portland, last week at home to Milwaukee, now at Orlando, it hurts. And the biggest difference in this stretch, look, the Bucks, I'll chalk that up to them being near the top of the Eastern Conference for a reason. They're really good. But the Portland game and this one, James Harden simply was not the same player. In Portland, he was 13 of 35. The first half, he was 3 of 15, I believe, with 6 turnovers, and the Rockets never overcame that early deficit. This one was a bit different. The Rockets actually led by as much as 12, I believe. They had a 7-point lead with 5 minutes to go before they were outscored 20-6 down the stretch. But the reason the Rockets could not pull away from Orlando, even though they led for most of the game, James Harden, 38 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds. His top line stats were still very, very good, but just 1 of 17 from 3. Give him even 5 of 17, which is a well below average shooting night for him, and that's more than enough for the Rockets to win this game. And they might win it by 15 or 20, because ultimately, with the Magic on night 2 of a back-to-back, they might fade. However, because Harden never found that extra gear, not to his credit, he did make 10 of 15 from inside the arc, got to the free throw line 16 times, made 15 of those, had 12 assists, 4 steals. He found ways to get involved and make things happen, even though his three-point stroke was not falling. But in large part, the secret for James Harden in this historic run in which he's been averaging about 40 points per game over the last month has been the three-point shot. He's made more than anyone in the league, even though he's taking some of those difficult shots. He's been shooting close to 40% from behind the arc, even though he's getting zero catch-and-shoot opportunities. The step-backs are just very, very difficult shots. He's facing every defense imaginable. Now, I don't want to take anything away from the Magic. I thought Evan Fournier defended him pretty well, Terrence Ross at times. This is a good team. I don't want to take anything away from them, but I don't think James Harden saw anything radically different than what he's been seeing, especially over the past 10 days or so against teams like the Warriors, the Blazers, the Nuggets, the Bucks. The Rockets have been playing good opponents, good team defenses, and good individual defenders for quite some time. I think it's just a matter of Harden running out of steam, and I think it comes with the workload that he has had to take on with first Chris Paul and now Eric Gordon having been out. And yes, it helps that tonight Austin Rivers had a season high, not just a Rockets career high, but a season high going back to his stint with Washington the first 2 months, 25 points, 10 of 14. But it's not just about tonight. It's about the mileage going into this. And without CP3, without Gordon, the good news is that by the end of the week, Eric Gordon is expected back. We heard that Saturday at practice in Houston. Probably won't be Monday in Houston, but he's not far away. Chris Paul won't be much beyond that. So the reinforcements are on their way. But ultimately, this is what we expected to happen once the Rockets lost Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. It was just delayed for a while because James Harden was in such unprecedented territory. And even though he's still good, 38 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds, that's a legendary game for 99% of players around the NBA. For James, the fact that he could put that up while shooting 1 of 17 from 3, it's actually pretty amazing that his game is that diverse. But also, it tells you that he left a big part of his game, the three-point stroke, that has been instrumental in this Rockets run, helping overcome a lot of their limitations. They don't have very many creators, very many shot makers without Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, two of the guys who are projected to be your big three, at least from an offensive creation perspective. Now, for the game as a whole, Harden was 11 of 32, but that's certainly well below his averages. And in this current five-game stretch, with the Rockets have lost three games in, he shot below 40% from the field three times, including two of the three losses, the aforementioned in Portland, and then Sunday night in Orlando. He was also about 38%, 7 of 18, in the Monday win over Denver. So with James, you're starting to see signs that as epic as that run was for him in December and early January, and to put it in some broader perspective with the three-point numbers in particular, from the start of December through the first game of January, which was the epic finish, the game winner in Golden State, Harden shot nearly 42% from three on more than 13 attempts per game. So it was a huge part of his arsenal. Well, now this is the third time in five games that he's been below 40% from the field, and two of them have been losses for the Rockets. Well, they've lost three times in the five, but two of the subpar shooting games for Harden are among those. So while James Harden was not to blame for the Rockets' loss tonight, they had plenty of other issues. In my opinion, the rebounding, they were beaten 45 to 38. The inconsistent shooting for the night, they shot just 10 of 42 from three, although Harden, 1 of 17, had a lot to do with that. Outside of Harden, they were 9 of 25, which is 36%. But they were inconsistent. No one could buy a bucket late, it seemed, even though Harden wasn't able to throw it in the ocean, neither could anyone else. Austin Rivers, even though he was 10 of 14, 25 points, his one look late, he airballed. These things are foreseeable, and that's why this run from Harden, as great as it was, what it did was buy you time. You couldn't count on it to last forever. And in some ways, the timing was magnificent because the Chris Paul and Eric Gordon injuries, especially combined, they could have killed you. It didn't, because Harden was so great that even with these things piling up, even with issues that were there before, again, the Rockets have been a bad rebounding team all year long, depth has been hit or miss, especially with the injuries, what James Harden did was buy you time. But what we said throughout the stretch was that it's not going to last forever. Well, now I think it's pretty clear, even with the schedule easing up a bit, and Orlando, I know, back-to-back wins over Boston and Houston. It's a pretty good young team. They do hit Houston where they're weakest, those long athlete types up front. All of that is true. But even with that, it's a game the Rockets should win, especially since they were playing from in front the majority of the game. And really, you would think towards the end of the game, if anyone ran out of gas, it should be the Magic because they're on a back-to-back. The Rockets hadn't played since Friday, and then that game against Cleveland, no one got overextended because they won by nearly 30 points. Despite that, it happened. And while James Harden is not the reason for the loss, it's important to note that he is the reason the team overachieved to the extent that it has over the past month, and especially the last 2 weeks, without both Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. It wasn't going to last forever, and we're starting to see signs in the most recent five-game stretch, three of them losses, three of them not ideal performances from James Harden, that while he's great, he is human, he's not immune to the normal curves of an NBA season, which there are ebbs and flows, and especially if you ask him to take on too much of a workload, eventually his body is going to break down a little bit. And at this point, hopefully the Rockets can survive another game or two before they get Eric Gordon back and then Chris Paul after that. But it seems pretty clear at this point that for the Rockets, James Harden, while still really, really good, he's not in that God mode, that historic mode that he was in December and early January. And without that, when you combine that with the depth issues, the injuries at the moment, the Rockets just aren't good enough to win until they get more of their big guns back. It's really that simple. So no, I'm not blaming James Harden for Sunday night's deflating 116-109 loss in Orlando, but at the same time, if they were going to win it, he needed to be the reason why that they overcame many of these issues in much the same way he's done over the past several weeks. Unfortunately, he couldn't do it. More thoughts as we continue our way through our three-points recap of this unfortunate 116-109 loss by the Rockets in Orlando. Houston led by 7 with under 5 minutes to go, but the Magic finish on a 20-6 run. To me, what stood out, and they've got some names up front, the Magic, the Aaron Gordons, the Nikola Vucevic's of the world that are long, they're athletic, they can rebound, and as mentioned in segment one, they hit Houston where they're weakest. So even though James Harden, by his standards, had an off night, now 38 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds is great, but shooting 1 of 17 from 3, as mentioned, that's a big decline from the Harden that the Rockets have been using to stay afloat over this recent stretch without Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. Well, the reason that it's taken that version of James Harden to win, in addition to the injuries and a tough schedule, is that the issues that have been around all season long, they're still there. The Rockets are not a great rebounding team. In fact, especially on the defensive end, they're near the bottom of the league. So Orlando out-rebounded them 45-38. They had 12 offensive boards, kept so many possessions alive. And what it felt like in this game, there were so many sequences where the Rockets were up by 8, 10 points that it felt like, okay, this is the stretch they can get to 15 or 20. They couldn't. The Magic, even though they had tired legs on night two of a back-to-back, they found ways to hang around, and then ultimately down the stretch, they made a few threes, and it was enough to get them to win. And I think there's a couple of reasons for it. First, I think the Rockets, they didn't take the game as seriously as they should have from the outset. We heard that from Mike D'Antoni in his post-game comments. The Magic actually had more free throws, 28-27, than the Rockets on Sunday night, even though Harden had 16. If James Harden goes to the line 16 times and the other team still has more free throw attempts, you'd have to think that they have a superstar of their own. The Magic do not, yet that's what happened. I really don't think the Rockets got the short end of the officiating stick all that often. The reality, the Magic just had longer, bigger bodies. They got more opportunities close to the rim. The Rockets were a little bit lethargic, and one of the things that we said coming off this really strong scheduling stretch was, okay, can the Rockets bring the same energy, the same focus to the weaker part of the schedule that they did when they were playing tougher teams, because we've seen certainly when they lost to Cleveland, an 8-35 team earlier in the year, the Rockets have played with their food a little bit, to borrow an expression that's popular on Twitter with the kids these days, I suspect, or at least judging by my timeline, it is. As far as this game, I thought that happened a little bit, especially early on, but the Rockets, early in the fourth quarter, they went up by double digits. PJ Tucker was working his butt off. I think it took the Rockets a little bit longer to get into gear than you would like, and I think some of that is the focus. They had tired legs, or maybe they just didn't take the opponent as seriously as they should. I think that's part of the story, and I'm sure that Mike D'Antoni will drill that to them over and over again in film study because they want to control what they can control. But in the fourth quarter, and that was a period the Rockets led by at least 10, they were up by 7 with 5 minutes to go, I thought their focus was there. They got better at not fouling down the stretch. It's just a matter of the Magic had more possessions in which they owned the interior. Either they kept the ball alive near the rim, or they were able to get into the paint, collapse the defense, and somewhere the rotation broke down along the passes and they were able to get an open three. We saw PJ Tucker and James Harden chirping at one another over a missed rotation that I believe was on the three that put the Magic in front with about 3 minutes to go. And sure, some of it is just the Rockets need to try harder. They need to focus more. That's always true. And again, Mike D'Antoni is going to be drilling that angle home because he wants them to control what they can control. He doesn't want them to be looking over their shoulder wondering, hey, when are these guys going to be back? Or is Daryl Morey going to get me reinforcements at the trade deadline? That said, what concerns me more than the effort, because ultimately it's just one game out of 82, is the personnel side, and that especially with Nene out, he's 36 years old, it's a back-to-back, Sunday in Orlando, Monday at home against the Grizzlies. They're not going to play a 36-year-old on both ends of a back-to-back. Just ask Chris Paul what happens when they played him on both ends, on especially a back-to-back with a plane flight in the middle of it, first in Washington, or home against Washington, then at Miami. That's when he strained his hamstring in mid-December. The Rockets sat Nene out, and without Nene, the Rockets just very undersized against a long, physical, athletic team in the Magic with a lot of big bodies around the rim and longer athletes on the perimeter. Clint Capella had 17 and 10, but off the bench, they played Marquese Chriss 11 minutes, dusted him off, a guy who hadn't been in the rotation in months. Other than that, they tried some Tuck Wagon minutes. PJ, his minutes went down on Friday. Those were up to 39. And with Nene out, and this was the third game in the last five that Nene basically did not play. He wasn't in the rotation against the Bucks or the Warriors because they didn't like the matchup, the switching they have to do against the very athletic teams. Tonight, because it's a back-to-back, he was out. Well, that's three of five games that Nene's been out, or three of six, excuse me, going back to the Golden State game, which was 6 games ago. But of those 3 games that Nene missed, the Rockets lost 2 of them tonight and against Milwaukee, and the game in Golden State, they would have lost that as well had Harden just not been insane and in all-time mode in terms of the level of his performance. And that's why I said towards the end of last week that I see another 4/5 piece as the biggest need for the Rockets as they get to trade and buyout season. I threw out Kenneth Faried and Robin Lopez as possibilities. Because right now, other than Clint Capella, if Nene is not out there, and it seems like that's 3 of the last 6 that Nene hasn't played either because the Rockets didn't like the matchup, or in this case, it's a back-to-back, which happens over the regular season, they are incredibly small. They lose these loose balls, and things have a way of spiraling. And I know that was not the only problem tonight. You can point to a lot of different things. You mentioned Harden shooting off the top. Ultimately, he's going to figure that out. And actually, even though Harden was 1 of 17, he had a lot of threes go in and out. Ultimately, James is going to be fine. I have no issues with his shot selection. He took many of the same shots that he's made when the Rockets have been brilliant in this recent stretch, winning 13 of 16 going in. The bench was bad. They had a combined 7 points, 0 in the second half. Gerald Green, 1 of 7. Look, Gerald Green is going to make shots some nights. He's going to miss others. That's just the way he goes. And as far as the bench, you're without Chris Paul. You're without Eric Gordon, which forces normal bench players into the starting lineup. You're also without Nene and Brandon Knight. So I don't see depth up and down the roster as a problem. Brandon Knight sat out with a sore knee, which I think is to be expected, coming off basically missing a year and a half with injuries to that same knee. I don't think suddenly going through a lot of mileage, which the Rockets have put him through over the past 3 weeks, is going to come without any bumps. I'm not alarmed by that unless the Rockets give me a reason to be. But ultimately, you take out four rotation pieces like that, two of them, in the case of Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, potentially all-star level contributors at times, depending on the night, of course, with Eric Gordon, then there's going to be an impact in scoring. And ultimately, if the Rockets get healthy, that's going to be fine. It's the rebounding issue, the size that has been there all year long. And if Nay is willing to miss 50% of the time in a given stretch, be it the matchup or back-to-back, those types of factors, then it reminds you that they need another body up front. And I know the Rockets aren't afraid to play small. Maybe they can do that a little bit more once they get these other guys back. But to me, to see them consistently lose on the glass, the hustle points, it's a team that, again, has been near the bottom of the league in defensive rebounding all year long, got beat 45-38 tonight, didn't seem to have much in the way of rim protection in the fourth quarter when it mattered, the Magic scoring 20 in the last 5 minutes of the game. I know a lot of those came on threes, but it happened because they got far too easy to the bucket, got second chances, got people out of position, and then from there, the threes just came wide open and in rhythm. The bottom line to me is that if you can't count on Nene as an everyday presence, and I don't think you can, based on age, athletic limitations, those types of things, and all of a sudden, you're Clint Capella, and you don't have a lot else. And over the balance of 82 games, and the Rockets are in a dogfight right now, that's one thing that the 11-14 start you can't shake off. You're not going to be able to run away and hide like you did a year ago. You're going to have matchups where you play younger, athletic teams that are springy, that have these types. And to me, for the Rockets to match up, maybe they could have gotten the game tonight anyway, had Harden shot really well, but some of the problems that when he wasn't able to save them showed up, they've been there all along. It's just we haven't talked about them as much of late because they have been winning games. Well, now that Harden was simply very good instead of great, they stand out a lot more. So to me, I think some of their issues with depth, certainly when they get their injured guys back, it'll help. That'll also make Harden more efficient, at least in theory, because he won't have to be used nearly in as significant a way in terms of his usage rate. But with the rebounding, those types of issues that have been there all year long, yeah, to me, they probably need help. Hopefully, it's relatively soon, but my suspicion is that it might take until mid-February if they have to go the buyout route, as we discussed a little bit more on Friday's show. Final thought as we close out our 3 points recap. It's been a largely pessimistic, negative show because, look, the Rockets lost to an Orlando team that, even though they're 19-24, better than expected, Houston should be the superior team. They led for the majority of the game, but ultimately, the Magic went on a 26th run in the last 5 minutes, and there's not many ways that you can shine that turd, pardon the expression, but it's a bad night. That said, even in bad nights, there are some individuals that stand out. And for the balance of the game, one reason the Rockets almost won, if not for that closing flurry from the Magic, in which they made a lot of open threes, but still, even if you're wide open, it's not like three-point shots are going to fall with that much regularity. The reason the Rockets were able to withstand, until the last 5 minutes, a bad shooting stretch from James Harden was because his backcourt mate, Austin Rivers, was just that efficient. And yeah, I mentioned that he had an air ball in the last few minutes when the Rockets went on that cold spell. Well, even with that air ball, 10 of 14, a season high, 25 points, 37 big minutes, 4 of 7 from behind the arc. And hell, you take away that last one, he was 10 of 13 and 4 of 6. Rivers playing in his old hometown. He grew up in the Orlando area because his father, Doc, was a head coach for several years of the Magic back in the early 2000s. He brought it. It should have been enough to get the Rockets the win. I planned on him being the storyline going into this show because for most of the game, he carried them despite Harden having, by his standards, an underwhelming game, at least relative to the MVP form that he's had over the past month or so, maybe even beyond MVP form. I think we can say historically elite form. It should have been enough. Ultimately, it wasn't. It sucked that Rivers and many other Rockets couldn't get them to the finish line. But on the balance, 25 points, 10 of 14 shooting in 37 minutes, you will take that any day of the week. And the reason I feel that it's important to note how well Rivers played, even though it came in a loss, it does remind you of how much value he has long term. And it comes at an important stretch because I've seen a lot of wondering on Twitter about what happens to Austin Rivers' role once Chris Paul and Eric Gordon get back. Because in the Chris Paul era in Houston, the Rockets have never really played a fourth guard for any significant time. It's been CP3, James Harden, and Eric Gordon, and other than a few injury absences or just a cursory 5-10 minute glance anywhere else, they haven't found a fourth guard that Mike D'Antoni will give consistent minutes to. However, I don't think it means that he is not willing to. I think it's more an issue of roster composition, and there has not been that fourth guard that Mike D'Antoni can trust. He's had the revolving door of Michael Carter-Williams, Bobby Brown, Isaiah Cannon, Briante Weber. So many guys have been in and out over the past year and a half that I think it's a disservice to Austin Rivers to compare him to those guys. He is on a different level. What I think is a better comparison for Austin Rivers, go back to 2 years ago, the first Mike D'Antoni season in Houston, when the Rockets traded for Lou Williams at the deadline. Now, Lou individually never fit in quite as well as I think the Rockets envisioned, but it certainly wasn't a problem with the Rockets having too many guards. It was just a problem with Lou individually, and he was still solid. He just wasn't as dynamic as it looked on paper, like when they acquired him from the Lakers for Corey Brewer and the first-round pick, that he could be. But in that season, which the Rockets beat the Thunder in the playoffs, lost to the Spurs, the Rockets played four guards with regularity. They started Beverly and Harden. They brought in Eric Gordon and Lou Williams as kind of the twin dynamos off the bench. That's what Craig Ackerman said on this podcast a week or so ago. That formula can work again, especially with how well Austin Rivers defends on the perimeter. We have seen in this recent stretch, he's defended Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, all with pretty decent success. If you can defend, Mike D'Antoni is not going to be scared because you're a few inches shorter than he might like. No, Austin Rivers is a lot taller than Lou Williams, for one example. So no, I'm not expecting Austin Rivers to go anywhere, even when both Chris Paul and Eric Gordon have come back. He might be a shade undersized compared to Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamuche, the exact formula they won with a year ago. Well, they don't have to use the exact same formula, as I've said. And by the way, in addition to guarding guards, we saw Rivers pick up Kevin Durant in that Golden State game with a pretty decent amount of success there as well on switches. They trust him. He's instinctive. His on-ball defense, he moves laterally very, very well. Young at 26 years old, so he's very athletic. I don't think even with the Rockets get their guards back that it's going to go back to just the main three, Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, and then Austin Rivers just playing spot minutes mop up here or there. No, Mike D'Antoni has shown you in Houston before that he will play four guards. It's just technically some of those minutes are going to come at the three now because you actually have four that you can trust. So you'll have more three-guard lineups. And because of that, that's why it goes back to what I said with Nene. That's why I see another 4/5 as a bigger need than a 3/4. Because I think Austin Rivers, and of course, you have Daniel House. We'll see how James Ennis plays as he continues to work his way back after the hamstring injury. They have bodies that they can throw at the 3 spot that, especially over 48 minutes, they can patch that together. Is it exactly the same formula as a year ago? No, but I think it's one that you can win with. What I believe is the more consistent need, once the team gets healthy again and you're able, with Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, James Harden, Austin Rivers all there to fill up some of your 3 minutes between those four, what I think is the more consistent need, the rebounding has been there all season long, that Nene, even though Nene's been better than expected when he's played, the fact is there are certain matchups that aren't conducive to his skill set at 36 years old. He's also not going to play on back-to-backs. That's why, to me, that factor combined with Austin Rivers being this good and the fact you have two other guards that are about to come back, that's why I won't rule out another three, because the Rockets are always, under Daryl Morey, a best player available approach. They'll take the superior talent and make it work from there. But if it's close to equal, to me, the need is up front, because I think the three spot is going to be fine. That's what Austin Rivers has shown you. He's versatile, especially defensively, more than you might think. He can play. He certainly can be a ball handler, but he can also play off the ball pretty well. Even in the loss tonight, he was impressive, and he showed you things that over the long haul could translate. To me, the bigger theme is that the Rockets, they need another body anywhere. It's especially true now with all the injuries, but even when they're all healthy, they could use more depth. But to me, it's up front where the biggest need is right now. Carmelo didn't pan out at the four, backup five like they wanted. To me, that is where, especially with a 36-year-old Nene as your only backup, now behind Clint Capella, they have Isaiah Hartenstein at the G League level. That's where you could use a little more help. So to me, between Nene's issues and Austin Rivers playing this well, to me it tells you that unless the guy you can get at the three is just clearly superior to whatever the best talent available is up front, my guess is that they err on the side of front court depth if they make something happen via trade or buyout to bolster this team. Because right now, other than Clint Capela, they are entirely too small. They are not physical enough. And that, to me, not a 3-and-D type, is the most glaring need as the Rockets try and get themselves out of this recent stretch in which they've lost 3 out of 5. So, that unfortunate stat is where we'll leave off the podcast because, well, it is appropriate to leave on that because the Rockets, even though I know they went in having won 13 of 16, well, again, they've stabilized themselves for a while. At this point, we can't grade them compared to what they were early in the season. That was just unsustainably bad. We have to grade them compared to the form they need to be in to be a contender. And ultimately, there are legitimate reasons for that. I think James Harden is a little worn down. Certainly the injuries are a big part of it. But they've lost 3 times in the last 5 games. They simply need to be better. And of course, the most recent iteration of that was the 116-109 loss in Orlando on Sunday evening. So that's where we'll leave off. If you want more content for our next show, which will be just about 24 hours away, the Rockets return home to host the Grizzlies Monday night. The best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. And also check out our Locked On NBA handle, our Locked On NBA Net, excuse me, handle on both Twitter and Instagram. That's the curated feed from our experts across the wonderful Locked On Podcast Network. So you want to see what's going on around the NBA or what experts in other cities have to say about the Rockets when their teams are playing Houston, then check out that Locked On NBA Net handle. Also, if you have not subscribed to our podcast already, please do. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. That's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers, and you get the benefit of episodes delivered right to your inbox even before I can post them to my Twitter page at the aforementioned Ben Dubose. Also, if you work with smart speakers or voice assistant providers, just say play podcast Locked On Rockets, and you should be able to find our most recent episode that way as well. So with those plugs out of the way, this is where we'll break it on this Sunday evening. Once again, the unhappy final from Orlando, Magic 116, Rockets 109, Houston falls to 24-18, and it's their third loss in the past 5 games. With that unfortunate note, hope you do have a good otherwise start to your week, and please come back tomorrow when we're breaking down, hopefully, a happier result when the Rockets return to action against the Memphis Grizzlies on Monday night at Toyota Center. Until then, have a good one, and thanks for listening to me here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.